Shmuel Aleph Perek Tes Vav Pasuk Yud Tes. Shaul is getting an earful from Shmuel, relaying the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had sent him the previous evening. And he says, what have you done? V'lama lo shamata b'kol Hashem. And of course, the ultimate in the Avera that is entailed here. Why then did you not obey HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Simple and true. And a question, can you imagine what happens when we get asked that question? Such a simple question with so much complexity to it. V'lama lo shamata b'kol Hashem. The ultimate question that every Jew has to answer at some point. Why did you not listen to the voice of God? Why did you not obey God? Bata'at el hashalol. And again, something that in our generation, alas, you rushed to the spoils. You went for the materialistic goods. Bata'as hara b'nei Hashem. And you, Shaul, did which was evil in God's eyes. Bata'at is like an ayat, like a vulture, diving after its prey, Rashi says. It's a terribly descriptive metaphor for jumping after something that you desperately desire and that you're going to tear limb from limb. And says Mesudas David, until, besides the fact that you're blaming the people, you yourself, ata'at is singular, you yourself were diving at the spoil. Terrible criticism of Shaul. Shaul's not going to take this sitting down. Chaf, Vayomer Shaul el Shmuel, Asher shamati b'kol Hashem. So Shaul protests. Again, so many chances to take responsibility for himself. But Shaul just deeks every time to try to get out of it. You catch the kid with the hammer, and you see the vase smashed there on the floor. And he starts telling you a whole Bubba Maisa. I did obey Hashem. I did what you said. I went on the journey. On the journey that Hashem sent me. I brought Agag, the king of Amalek. That's Amalek Hecharanti, and Amalek I destroyed. But you're just compounding your guilt. Saying that you brought Agag when you were commanded to kill Agag is not the right answer. But Shaul's claiming that that's not a violation because he's in captivity and we're going to put him to death. Just not yet. How could he possibly think that he had fulfilled the commandment? So the man Lois suggests that some explain that he saw himself as carrying out the essence of the mitzvah. It's just a little detail that's missing. You know, I didn't kill the animals, but I'll sacrifice them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that'll fix it. Others say that he had left others alive. When he says that he destroyed Amalek, Hecheramti, he meant only the ones who stood up against Klal Yisrael, but some offered to convert. And Shaul thought, oh, well, we shouldn't kill those then. They want to convert. But of course they weren't being sincere. They were afraid, and they didn't want to die. So he spared them. The Mechilta says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore he would never accept any ger from Amalek. But that's only one opinion, and it's not necessarily accepted as law. And in fact, the Gemara says that descendants of Haman or Amalek, you learn Torah and B'nai Brak, so Amalek, you are allowed to convert. It's funny, some other nations are not allowed. Ammon, Moab, Mitzrim, certain number of generations. Amalek is not mentioned in the group that can't convert. But the problem is, of course, here we are, and Shaul is rationalizing again. And he continues to blame everybody else. The people set aside from the spoils sheep and cattle at the beginning of the Cherem. So before pronouncing a ban on using the spoils, they set aside some sheep and cattle. To sacrifice to Hashem, your God, at Gilgal. So they were going to destroy them eventually. But first they set aside the ones that they were going to make Hekdesh. Look, I stole this money, but I dedicated it to the shul. What's so bad about that? I'm doing the right thing. The problem is that the Mefarshim explain that immediately there should have been a cherem on everything of theirs, as Shaul had been commanded. But they rushed to make them hekdesh before any cherem took place because they were going to sacrifice them as shlamim and then divide the meat among themselves. So picking Gilgal was seen, therefore, as a place to divide spoils rather than to fulfill Hashem's command. Although you are going to give a carbon, but it's not going to be just an ola. Lizboach, a zevach, the people get to eat from. And Shmuel says, that's not good enough. Seriously, that's your take on it. Chav Beis, Vayomer Shmuel, Hachefetz LaHashem, Ba'olos Uzvachim. Do you think that what God wants is to take pleasure in burnt offerings, olos, and zvachim, shlamim, peace offerings? Kishmoa b'kol Hashem, as opposed to obeying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words? Hine shemoa mizevach tov lahakshiv mechela ve'lim. Strong, strong words that we all should remember. To listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is better than all of the fats of the rams that you are going to bring as any kind of zevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chav Gimel, kichatas kesem meri. Because the sin of defying HaKadosh Baruch Hu is equivalent to the sin of consulting sorcerers. Meri, being moirid, rebelling, is just like kisamim, like trying to do magic. Evil spirits. Va'aven usarafim haftsar. An exaggeration is akin to trafim, to the sin of idolatry, of avodah zarah. When you lack confidence in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you go see a sorcerer and get your horoscope done. Not putting down all horoscopes, but nevertheless. If you don't trust God to guide you, you go to idols and sorcerers to guide you. That's why Ya'an, whereas ma'asta es devar Hashem, you have rejected the word of God. This is the exact opposite of what Shaul said. I kept all the mitzvah. No, says Shmuel, you rejected the word of God. Bayim ascha mimelech. God has rejected you from being the king. The more you insist that you are innocent, the more you defend yourself badly, the more you are compounding your avera. The original avera is compared to sorcery, but defying and continuing to assert your innocence is like avodah zarah, far worse even than sorcery.